Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right. What's good, people? Oh. we definitely live. We've been live for a couple minutes.
Yes.
Yo, so welcome to the first ever Rants and Gems live stream. Exactly. Now, you notice our first one because we didn't even know we was live.
Sorry. Right? Sorry, you guys.
So, look.
You didn't catch much. You didn't miss much.
You didn't miss much, all right? So, we sitting here making sure everything do what it do. And you guys caught us and didn't even tell us that we were live. So, thank you very much. But, yeah, welcome, Rants and Gems Real Estate Podcast. I'm Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And I am Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576.
They said we've been live for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I talked about everything.
It's all good, y'all. So y'all heard a lot, all right? So look, it is what it is. We back live stream, and we're going to have an interesting conversation today. We're going to talk about renting versus owning. And, yeah. You know, there's always a lot of topics. We're in the real estate industry. Obviously, oh, yeah. People know that. Obviously, people are going to say we're biased.
They are going to say we're biased. But you'll be surprised to hear our opinions about renting versus buying. It's many ways to skin a cat.
It is definitely many ways to skin a cat.
Right.
First and foremost, let me say the disclaimer. Fuck our opinions. First and foremost. True. Do what works for you and your family at the end of the day. Forget the gurus. Forget this person. Forget your mom, dad, your uncle. Who cares at the end of the day? Do what works best for you and your family at the end of the day. All right? So that's my disclaimer.
Now, all right.
Let's get to it. Renting versus owning. What is your opinion on this?
My opinion about renting versus owning is you have to own to control. There's just no way you can control the narrative of anything being a renter. There's just, bottom line is you want to build generational wealth. You forget the generation. You know what? If you want to build equity, build wealth, period. If you want to be in control of your life, you need to own it. And owning means owning your real estate. Like, let's be honest. When people are ready to, you're renting at any time, they can say, you know what? I'm tired of you renting. You got 60 days. Get out of my property.
Damn, that's harsh.
But it's true. And it's on most lease agreements as well. And I don't think anybody pays attention to that. When you read your lease agreement, there's clauses. There are clauses that say when they're ready to sell the property, they have to give you a certain amount of notice to get out. So now your family's displaced. They're selling their property or taking over or doing whatever they want to do. It's just like, why wouldn't you want to own? Why wouldn't you want to own where you lie your head? I don't get that. Like, I truly don't understand it. Even if it comes from a non-real estate standpoint, like even if I'm not getting paid, I still would advocate for you to own where you lay your head. It just doesn't make any sense.
I agree with that.
You know,
look, I'm a fan of what's the alternative, right? You can really be homeless. So if you got to rent and if you're in a situation where you can't afford to buy real estate or you're not ready for that type of responsibility of owning real estate, then go ahead and rent, right? I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. You need a place to sleep. You need a place to lay your head. Because who wants to live on a street?
Correct. Right?
So what's your alternative? It's either you rent or you go be homeless, like for real.
Facts.
Right? But I would say this. We have to own some shit. Like the great Aisha Seldon says, we have to own some shit, especially in the black and brown community.
Yes.
Now, I understand why folks will say, I'll rent and then I'll invest. Right?
I've seen that too.
I get that. Now, everybody always like to throw Grant Cardone into that conversation, especially my page, because I posted something the other day.
I'm starting early, y'all.
You got the wine early? I love it. But, like, I posted on my page something, and we're going to get into that later. Yeah. But, you know, everybody's throwing GC name in it. Well, he's a billionaire. He rents and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, look, that's different, right? He's investing.
Listen,
he's still owning.
Can I say that? That's so different. I feel like what we do, we want to hear pieces that we want to hear to actually support the narrative that we want, because a lot of us are in a position to buy. We can afford to buy, but we like the shiny thing. The shiny thing is I can rent, and honestly, to be quite honest, renting is cheaper up front than it is buying.
That's
buying is a down payment, it's closing costs, it's all these things, but renting is like first month's rent, first and second month's rent, or first and last month's rent, I'm in here, right? And it's a pretty shiny thing. And most people like that, but the truth is you're in a position to do so. When they talk about Grant Cardone, I'm like, yes. He doesn't have to own where he lays his head. This man is on jets every day.
Yeah.
He's using other people's money, OPM.
It's a different
to invest. Thing. And so his mindset is he doesn't want to own where he lays his head because he's laying his head in every
He's not
other
even
state.
Using his own money to invest. So
exactly.
It's a completely different category. So I hate when people try to bring
It's not real life.
Bring folks like him into that equation because it's not realistic.
It's
not the everyday person is gonna do that.
First of all, he's not the everyday person, period. Like, we all have big goals and high goals. But how many of us are going to be billionaires? Let's be clear. And the truth of the matter is, and that's just something being honest, it's like a top 1%. So if we know the bulk of us are never going to be in that position, why don't you talk to and listen to people that are your peers? Like, there's more millionaires than there are billionaires. There are more people that are wealthy. They say now the wealthy people, according to what's going on right now, if you make $400,000 a year, you're considered wealthy, right?
Yep.
I know way more people making that per year than I know millionaires.
Correct.
So if the average person looks at buying a home and they're building wealth, then you want to listen to the average person. I don't think we need to go off of these fairy tales and tales and these fantasies, because he's a billionaire and he's using other people's money. How many of you guys are going to be able to take $1 million of other people's money and invest it? We have a hard enough time getting $10,000 of other people's money.
That is 100% fact, right?
You know?
You can't compare yourself to certain people. Certain people just have a different mentality, different mindset. This conversation is more so for the everyday person.
Exactly.
Working in 9 to 5. Maybe you're self-employed, you're an entrepreneur. Maybe you're getting your credit together, you're stacking your bread, whatever it is. I honestly feel like you should go own. And if you don't want to own, if you want to invest, then you should buy a multifamily and live in the multifamily, house hack it, and live for free. That's just my personal opinion.
Or if you're in the state of Georgia and there's no multifamily, get you a property with a basement. I have plenty of clients that are looking for properties that have a basement. You can rent out the basement. It's the same thing as house hacking, and let someone pay the mortgage or pay most of the mortgage while they're staying with you, and you live in the other side. There's, like I said, there's so many other ways to approach it. I think what it is we want to look at home ownership, and I hate, you know what I hate people say?
Talk to them, Queen. Talk to them.
Let me get comfortable.
She about to get comfortable with y'all.
I hate when
Let's
y'all
go.
Like, well, if the bank owned the house, so if the bank take your house back, you never owned the house in the first place. The difference between you as a renter and the person as a homeowner, I got a real life example from a real life client. She bought her first home using down payment assistance, and she bought it from a builder. I think the home might have been, let's just say it was $165,000 or $175,000. This was 4 years ago. This year, she sold that home, made a $100,000 profit, paid all the agent fees, so she made more, plus paid the agent fees, and she used that profit now. She just lived in it. Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything special. It wasn't like a fix and flip. It was a new construction, beautiful property. She was able to sell it for profit, and now her mindset shifted. So she said, Kiana, what I'm going to do, and y'all can go to my page. It was the girl with the pink suit on that closed. She was like, what I'm about to do, I'm going to sell this house. I'm going to take this $100,000. This is the most money she ever had at one time. She used part of it to leverage to get a bank loan. She used another part of it. She opened an event space. She took a couple of classes about opening up an event space. She took another portion of it, and now she helps people do business credit, and she got business credit. So now she's able to start over, but she decided to rent this time. And she asked me, Kiana, I'm making $100,000. These are my plans to grow these three businesses. I'm going to do this for a year, and I'm going to come back to you in a year and buy a house. Now, I told her that was a smart decision.
Well, you couldn't do that if she was renting an apartment, though.
No, exactly. That's my point. You couldn't have taken time to say, I've educated myself, and here I am now, 3 years later, 4 years later, I've educated myself on building wealth. And I can make $100,000 and invest it, leverage it. And she is doing phenomenal. She just opened her event space. Shout out to Jewel Bozeman. She just opened her event space and she posted on social media. She's one of my day one clients. And I say that to say, where else can you live in a place and just pay a mortgage and make $100,000? I will wait and make $100,000 in 4 years. I'll wait.
You're not doing that renting. Like, that's just the facts, right? Renting does have some benefits, right? It gives you that flexibility. Mm-hmm. When your lease is up, you can be flexible. You can do whatever you got to do, right? It's a benefit. You don't have to worry about the maintenance in the place, right? It gives you an opportunity.
Maybe.
Well, depending on where you live.
Exactly.
Right? Depending on where you live. But in most cases, you don't really have to worry about the maintenance because it's the landlord's responsibility. It gives you the opportunity to stack your money, to prepare yourself for home ownership. So there are pros with renting. Look, for me, like I said earlier, I think if you need a place to stay, there's nothing wrong with renting.
But you know what?
Nothing wrong with
it. But there is something wrong with renting if you're going to rent. Like, I feel like you should rent well below where you want your mortgage payment to be. So you should humbly rent. So you don't want to rent the high-rise, brand-new, $5,000 a month spot. What you want to do is you want to rent something that's well below so you can save. You're not going to be able to save if your rent is just as much as you want to pay your mortgage. Where is the saving?
Well, there's no savings. And that was going to bring me to another point. In most cases, your rent is going to be more expensive than it is to have an actual mortgage. Like, once you, like you said, first, last month, security, maybe a broker fee involved in it too, depending on the situation. That's four times your rent. So if you're renting for $2,500 a month, that's $10,000. I mean, that's a down payment on a $300,000 home.
Exactly.
Right? And your mortgage payment, depending on your property tax and insurance, is probably going to be less than $2,500 a month.
That's
probably going to be around $18,000 to $2,000 a month. With renting, one of the cons, you don't get no tax benefits. The IRS does not recognize your rent payments.
Hold on.
At all.
You get no. People always. I want earned income equity. Equity counts. I'm here to say equity. The equity
state. But you do know equity is monopoly money, though.
Equity is monopoly money, uh-huh. But you know what? You cash out when it's time. And everybody that's cashing out this year on their monopoly money, every single one of my sellers making at least six figures. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And they can take that same six figures and flip it and turn back around and buy another house and still have money left over. Like, what you don't understand is there's an equity play when it comes to home ownership.
Yeah, I mean, this equity plays, there's tax benefits that come with it. There's stability. You know, most people, you know, if you have children, you have a family, you're in a certain neighborhood, you have the better school districts in most cases.
You have power.
You have the power.
There's power in ownership. And I think what we've done is we've told ourselves that, well, renting is the same thing as having a mortgage because you don't own it, because the bank owns it. And you, what you're doing is you're just tricking yourself out of your spot. You're tricking yourself out of your spot because there is no comparison. Owing the bank some money as leverage on a property that you can refinance, that you can sell for profit, that you have many programs that will protect you is not the same as just renting someone else's asset and helping them pay their property off sooner. Because that's what renters actually do. So when a renter finally figures out, why is this homeowner kicking me out? Or why do they not want me here anymore? Why are they selling? Congratulations. You paid their mortgage over in abundance for 5 years. Now they have equity. Now they have the rent that you've paid towards their mortgage, and they're going to cash out and make some money. Congratulations. You helped them. You didn't help yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I 1,000% agree with that. You can't cash out on an apartment. Somebody else. You just can't. And when, like you said, when there's an opportunity to get equity in the your house, you take it, you use it. You do what you got to do.
There are certain properties, like you have legacy properties that you'll never sell, but mm-hmm. there are certain properties like this hit, if I can get this, let it go.
Yeah.
And get your money out of it. Real estate will always have highs and lows. Right now, it's up. It's really high.
But rent is up, too.
Rent is all the way
rent
up.
Rent is at all-time highs right now. That's why
up.
When I hear people say this argument, like, oh, I'd rather rent this, that, and third, I'm like, yo, but you're paying a mortgage.
Oh, yes.
Like, you think you're really saving, but you're really not saving because you're paying a mortgage in most cases.
Mm-mm.
Like, in New York, where I'm from, I mean, rent on a three-bedroom apartment, depending on where you are, can be anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000, depending on your neighborhood, right? Now, when I say $10,000, because I know people in the chat going to be like, yo, well, who's paying $10,000?
A lot of people.
A lot of people, trust me.
I'm in Atlanta. There's a lot of people that are paying $6,000, $5,000, $4,000 in rent. Like, let's be clear. In Atlanta, it's considered, humbly speaking, we're considered cheap compared to New York. Mm-hmm. And we still see rental prices at $3,500, $4,000 for a single family home with four or five bedrooms. So it's not getting cheaper to rent. It's actually getting more expensive.
And it's going to keep going up.
Of course.
Rent is everything. Look, what you said is up and
it's
stuck.
It's up and it's stuck. I said this when we first started. They all was mad at me.
They was pissed.
It's still up.
Yes.
Y'all still mad? It's still up. Is it still up or not?
Yo, you're a fool. Yo.
They were mad.
Are y'all still mad?
Are y'all still mad? I want to know. Numbers don't lie. I'm not, you know, I'm just chasing the numbers. The numbers are what they are.
Look, men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Numbers do not.
Google this information for yourself.
And you
can see what's happening in the rental market. All landlords are raising their rent, especially now that these moratoriums are ending. People haven't paid mortgages in a while. Landlords about to make their money back.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, look, at the end of the day, do what you got to do, what you think is best for you and your family at the end of the day. But ultimately, especially in the black and brown community, we need to own some shit. I don't care if you're going to rent. If you're going to rent and you have the finances, you have the money, you better be investing.
Correct.
If you're going to rent, you better be investing. And that's what really pisses me off when I speak to people. And they say, look, I have the money, I have this, I just don't know what to do, or whatever, right? Or whatever excuse they come out with. It's like, dude, just fucking go buy investment property then.
Buy an investment. If you don't, because there are some people, now I'm going to speak for there's like a 1% of people, right? They make the money. They enjoy a certain high-rise living. They enjoy living in a place with all these amenities, and they don't necessarily want to get out of these. Like, there's a specific couple of condos in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people live in them. They can afford to purchase. They choose to live there for the convenience and all this and all this and all that, right? Cool. But you still got to own something. So at least own a secondary property. At least own a rental property. At least own something,
look,
whether you want to live there or not.
Look, in the Airbnb world that we live in today.
Oh, it's up.
If you guys are not taking advantage of this, especially if you have the capital,
yes,
you can go buy a second home, right, in Atlanta, in Miami, any place you would like to visit on a regular basis,
yes,
or you have visited, right? You can do 10% down, go get you a nice spot, and you can Airbnb it and make profit.
Yes.
And be smart about why you're renting. And most people are not taking advantage of these opportunities.
No, they're not.
Out there. They just want to be lifelong tenants. In our community, you know, I posted a tweet probably.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Like a year ago, I think I'm going to repost it. Uh-huh. And I said, in the hood, we don't know about generational wealth. We know about passing down rent-controlled apartments. Mm. That's generational wealth.
Oof.
And how I grew up.
Right.
As we pass down rent control. They don't want to let go of that rent control apartments.
Listen, I've like, heard about that in New York. See, we don't have that here.
Oh, we have heard about that. That is like a real thing. That's not no urban legend. That is no
so
myth.
So it's like, listen, you like I own it and I can't raise the rent.
Basically.
Whoa.
You can't do nothing. It's rent control.
I've heard about that in New York.
And it's
for
dirt
sure.
And it could be dirt cheap depending on when. Your probably your grandmother.
Like the grandfather then.
Yeah, like, yo, we had rent control apartments in my family at some point.
Wow.
Right? And the rent is a lot cheaper. And people pass that down from generation to generation. But that doesn't build wealth. That
no.
keeps us in a hood mentality.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? And I think we, in this day and age where we have, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, fine. You didn't have the information. Our parents didn't really know.
Right.
There was no YouTube. We couldn't do a rant in gyms. There was no Earn Your Leisure. There was none of these things, right? So the information wasn't readily available to us 20, 30, 40 years ago.
But it's
available to us now, and we know better.
And you can't continue to blame your parents and how you grew up and all these circumstances of why you have not built wealth or why you haven't made, what you call it, changes mm-hmm. to your mindset. It's really you now. You have too much access.
No, it's all
it's
on you.
It's too much access. Everything is on YouTube. Everything is on Google. Everything is on social media. Even if it is not just the step one is there. Now, maybe you may have to buy a class or something for step five through 10. Mm-hmm. But step one through five, the basic steps, they're there.
100%.
And so to live in a mindset where you rather say, you have all these excuses. Think about why. I want us to really take the time to absorb. Why is it that we have all these excuses? We say we don't want the maintenance of a house. I own houses. What kind of maintenance are y'all talking about? Y'all act like it costs thousands of dollars to maintain a house. The same way you got to pay all your utilities and all that when you rent.
Same thing.
The only difference between us and what you guys have going on is, okay, if my hot water heater breaks down, I got to replace it. But guess what I have? It's a thing called a home warranty. Mm. And with my home warranty, I have a complete protection home warranty. So I pay them $900 a year. Mm-hmm. But if they come to my house, they cannot fix my hot water heater. They replace it at no trip charge cost to me.
Yeah.
Then there's home warranties that you pay a trip charge to. But again, you may pay like $50 a month, $60 a month, $100 a month. That covers you for someone to come and repair any pieces or any broken items in your house. So what type of maintenance? Well, what type of maintenance y'all talking about?
Maintenance is definitely real, right?
But they act like it's thousands of dollars.
Depends. See, you guys are kind of spoiled down here in the South. I'm gonna tell you, and I'm gonna keep it real. You Southerners are spoiled.
Southerners.
Yes, you're from North Carolina.
I am. I'm a Southerner.
You're a Southerner too.
I'll take
right?
it. I'm a Southerner.
Shout out to the Southerners.
Shout out to the Southerners. Cheers.
Right. So you guys are spoiled because when y'all buy homes out here, the homes are fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't have a lot of older homes.
No, we don't.
But in New York, New Jersey, tri-state area. You got homes from fucking 1890.
All right, cool.
You got homes from 1920. These homes are old as dirt.
Take it.
These homes are falling apart, literally. like literally. And you're going to spend $700,000, $800,000. And I'm speaking only for New York right now, guys. So don't rip my head off in the comments saying, where are you getting $700,000 homes? You need to do work. But in New York, you can buy a $500,000, $600,000 home and still have to put $200,000 in to fix it.
But that's why y'all make all the money y'all make.
That is a fact.
That's why the cost of living is higher in New York. But y'all, the money y'all make, and the reason I know y'all making some money, because I got a lot of migrators that came down here from New York. And let me tell you, my relocation clients have spiked through the roof, and most of them come from New York. And y'all can work from home now, and y'all getting these inflated salaries to us, in our opinion, for our average price point. I know someone, one of my clients, making almost $300,000 a year, working as a senior head in HR. Moved to Atlanta, still making that same money. She rich. She's rich in Atlanta.
You're definitely rich.
They bought a 5-bedroom home mm-hmm. on an acre of land with a full basement. They are rich. But in New York, it makes up the difference.
It's check to check.
Yeah.
You know, New York, sometimes the New York salaries, even if you're making six figures, sometimes you still check to check because just...
The cost of living.
The cost of living. We have I mean, state taxes are ridiculous. Yes. Like, it's a lot. Property taxes are more expensive in New York. So New York is a different type of animal, and that's why, you know, I'm prefacing, like, New York, like, all right, high-cost areas are a little bit different, but still, there's opportunities to still rent. And that's why New York has so many multifamilies.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I encourage my New Yorkers, like, look, if you can't buy in New York, move to Jersey if you can.
See?
Because Jersey is a lot cheaper and you can still get multifamilies and still commute back and forth to work. Like, the way they migrate into Atlanta, folks in New York are migrating to New Jersey, they're migrating to Connecticut because it's a little bit more affordable and you can get a lot more bang for your buck and still keep that
people
New York
salary. People are tired because, you know,
are pissed off in New York.
They're pissed off, and then think about it, with the pandemic, we didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine being in a one bedroom and y'all was shut down? Like, mm-hmm. Atlanta, we ain't gonna talk about what we did.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it because we know we kind of was still open. But y'all were shut down now. Can you imagine paying $3,000, $4,000 a month just to say I was in Manhattan and you stuck in a one bedroom? Let me tell you, I was on YouTube.
Oh.
I watched. This is how much you can afford in Manhattan. I said, I'll never live there.
When you talk Manhattan and certain parts of Brooklyn, it's just a completely different animal. But still, that 900 square foot, 1,000 square foot, but it's probably going to run you $5,000.
Let me tell you why I'm so disturbed. When we did our pop up in New York,
mm-hmm.
one of the agents showed me their flyer for this house, and I was like, this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Three-bedroom.
The southern, they're spoiled.
Two bath, 1,200 square feet.
Yes.
And they wanted like $1.2 million.
That's a big house.
$1.2 million.
That is a big house.
Oh, I said, no wonder my clients come in here. Y'all are like, they are disrespectful up there.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't brand new. It was no bells and whistles.
There's no such thing as brand new in
there's
New York.
No quartz countertops. It was just like, here's the house.
Guys, you see how the Southerners are spoiled, right? You see this shit? Like, quartz countertops, what? They still got Flamica.
I was like, y'all are tripping.
We got wood walls and pink tiles.
So I do see that the cost is up, but I can imagine if that's what you're charging me, when I go to YouTube and watch what I can afford in New York, mm-hmm. and if I'm going to pay you $3,000, $2,000 a month, 900 square feet, and I'm renting it, I'm not building no equity, I can never do nothing with it. It just doesn't make any logical sense, in my opinion.
Look, when you map it out, side by side, and if you weigh out all the pros and cons, and again, we're not talking to the people who have an investor mindset first, that just want to use their capital and invest, because those people are still owning.
But guess what? The ones that have the investor's mindset, they're not staying in a shiny, brand new apartment.
No, they're
actually in the one that's like $1,200 a month. Yeah. It's small. It don't need nothing.
They're sacrificing
to invest, whether they're investing in real estate, REITs, you can invest in REITs, investing in stocks. But they're using it. I had a client did that. Her first property she purchased was a duplex, and she was still renting, and she bought it in Grove Park. It's a growing area in Atlanta. Now it's completely grown up, and she bought a duplex, and that was her first property. She said, I'm gonna rent first. I'm gonna buy and have two tenants.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart if that works for your financial plan. But at least she owns something in her portfolio. I'm talking about lifetime renters.
Yeah, we got to get out this lifetime renting mentality.
Right.
And that's what, you know, and let's circle back to InvestFest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to InvestFest and everybody.
Shout out to, what's his name?
Julian Gordon, right?
Oh, Julie, hold on.
Julian's a savage.
If y'all saw me on stage, if you saw my face, I was shocked. I was just as shocked as y'all. I'm sorry. If you was offended, I was too. Like, I was like, whoa.
You was offended by that?
I was like, it wasn't offended. It made my heart flutter. It's the way he said it.
You clutched your pearls?
I was like, huh? Say what he said.
Yo, your man Julian, shout out to Julian Gordon, right? I rock with Julian Gordon. I think Julian Gordon is a great guy.
I rock with him too, but right? He still said what he said.
But he said what he said and he meant it with his chest, though.
Say it. Say what he said.
He said, if you are renting, you are homeless. But what got
me... If you are renting, you are homeless. He said that in front of 4,000 people.
In front of 4,000 people.
And proceeded to give y'all a poem and a speech about why you're a homeless person. I was done. He gave a speech and a poem about why you're a homeless person. But how he can help you eventually. But he can't help you if you're stuck on wanting to be homeless.
Oh my God.
It was the most profound. I know I was on stage. I had to get out of it. Like I was like, ooh.
Yo, I'm not gonna hold y'all up. If you watch the clip on my Instagram page, yo, that's my natural reaction. I say, yo, what? They're homeless, bro? Like, I could not believe what I was hearing at that moment.
I think everybody's eyes was like.
And then when he said, stand up and repeat after me, I am homeless, I said, oh my God, this dude is a savage. But with all that being said, if you listen to everything else that he said.
It was right.
It was 100% facts. And I think, so like, there's a whole debate. If you go to my Instagram page, MG the Mortgage Guy, and go to that post, you'll see it. It says, if you rent, you're homeless, right? As the headline. I think so many people are just stuck on the headline, and it offended a lot of people.
Oh, first of all, I was reading the comments. Y'all was ready. I don't want to, like, everybody's
the comments fighting. Was going crazy.
And the only thing, the biggest thing I read was, I don't want the financial responsibility of buying. I said, oh, well, maintaining a house, especially, okay, our Southerners, maintaining a home is not as that expensive. So y'all just making up excuses because you want to choose to rent because renting is comfortable. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
And people are comfortable, but in the comments, you know, I said people are not listening to what he's saying.
No.
Because people are stuck on, like he said, make them stand up and say that you're homeless.
He did.
I'm like, he did.
They stood up too.
It was 2,000 people who stood up and said, I am homeless. And I think they realized when they said that, like, what the hell am I saying?
They did though.
But then he said, manifest that you are not going to renew your lease when your lease ends and that you're going to make it a priority to purchase real estate, specifically a multifamily.
That's what I was about to say. His multifamily
in the year 2022.
He has a huge multifamily. And I feel like this, if you're in a state that, and I'm the reason I, y'all, let me just say, I love multifamily, but because we don't have any, it is so difficult to get someone in there. So we have to be creative and say, well, you can't get multifamily, but you can get a house on the basement. We got to get a little more creative in it because our state just doesn't support the multifamily movement. But the mindset behind the multifamily movement is very exciting because that mindset says, listen, with this multifamily movement, you're going to make sure there's somebody in another part of your home, whether they're in the basement, whether you're like Doug Depp, come out as somebody in every single room. Somebody and other people are going to be paying the bulk of your mortgage so you can live essentially mortgage free and allow them to pay it off. So we do have to have some renters out here. But like, have you remember Baby Boy? There's like, you got the people that are, you got the sellers.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah.
And you got the buyers, right?
Yep.
So you got the consumers. So the people that are out here consuming all the stuff, you got the people that's selling it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather be the person that's selling. I'd rather be selling it because this dope sell itself.
It
ain't nothing but
good dope sells itself.
Good dope sells itself.
That is a fact.
Than to be the consumer.
No,
that's how I feel.
And I agree. And everybody doesn't have that mentality, unfortunately. And I think that what Julian was trying to say is like, look, first of all, people buy courses, they go to mentorships, they go to real estate ride-alongs, they go to workshops, they go to Zoom calls, they go to seminars, they go to InvestFest, they go to all of these different places and they learn about real estate and they never execute, right? And what Julian was trying to do was force the audience to make a commitment of ownership.
Correct.
Because one important thing that he said, and I don't think people really paid attention to, he said, if we're going to close the wealth gap in our community, we can't have a renter's mentality.
No, we can't.
Real estate, we all know, is one of the biggest wealth builders in our economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if 2,000 people, I think the example he gave was 2,000 people in this room paying $1,000 a month on average, that's $24 million a year in rent going to somebody else's wealth.
Yes.
And then 9 times out of 10, it's not a black or brown person that it's going to go to, right?
More likely.
So you're giving away the wealth, and you cannot close a wealth gap in America if we have this.
If everybody wants to rent.
And if everybody wants to rent.
And I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot. And I like to speak from experience. It takes a lot for you to shift from that mindset. I don't like my family. I don't like the family house, like that family legacy house. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my house because we didn't grow up owning real estate.
I'm glad you're talking about this.
All my family rented Section 8. I still got family that's taking advantage of Section 8 and still renting. And the one thing about it is shifting your mindset to know that it's an investment takes a huge shift. So start there. You got to shift your mindset. Mm-hmm. The second thing is when you touch that first real estate check. Remember last year I ended up selling one of my investment properties, right? The HOA told me I could no longer rent, and they've been watching my house, and they started giving me fines, and I couldn't control it, which is why I do not advocate for you to get a rental in a community with an HOA, specifically a townhome, but we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm gonna sell this property, I'm gonna buy something else. I sold it, held on to the money, and eventually that's when I bought this house this year in Brookhaven. So I bought another property. And even though I put more money down, the projections from this, I could not imagine renting. I couldn't imagine because now I own it. I got equity when I bought it. I put my money as a vehicle. I look at real estate now as a vehicle to build wealth. I sold that property.
It absolutely is.
I made money from it being a rental. I made over six figures when I sold it. Took those same six figures, purchased a bigger property that's going to bring me in so much money. On these this Airbnb projections got me so excited. I've been in Home Goods every day. I've been on Wayfair buying whatever they said is in stock, I bought it. If it matches the color, because, furniture is hard to find. But I say that to say, you have to shift your mind to understand it's an investment. See, we want immediate gratification. I could have just had my money sitting in the bank account. I have my money now in a wealth-generating vehicle, which is property. It's tangible. I can touch it. I can make money off of it. Shift your mindset. Stop thinking that, it takes a lot to say, I'm putting down $50,000 on this house. I'm wasting my money. No. You're putting $50,000 into an investment vehicle that you will get returns on. Especially if you get with the right agent, the right zip code, the right property in the right area with the right growth. That's what's important.
So check this out though. Javon Blue in the YouTube comments, shout out to Javon Blue, thank you for watching. He says, your house is not an asset. Biggest lie in American history. What do you have to say to that?
I feel like he must not own anything.
Oof.
You must not own anything because my house is an asset. If I walked in with equity, the last house I sold, I made $110,000 at that closing. Tell me where else you can do that.
So he says an asset brings money into your household.
Yes.
And a liability takes money out of it. Simple. Sounds a lot like Grant Cardone, if you ask me.
He's reading from the Grant Cardone playbook, but my asset, my property actually brings me in money.
Okay.
Because I just talked about an investment property that I'm going to make close to $25,000 a month on by utilizing Airbnb, Gigster, and PeerSpace. So who said that my property ain't gonna make me no money again?
So let's do this in the chat right now, right?
Say what?
In the chat right now, do you guys think buying a primary residence is an asset or a liability? Let's take, I wanna hear you guys' opinion in the comments.
You know, and it has to be an asset, and I'm gonna tell you why it's an asset. Because if I cannot buy a primary home, mm-hmm. I can just live inside somebody's rental and pay them $2,000 a month, right? Mm-hmm. So $2,000 a month times 12, what's that, $24,000?
Correct.
All right, or I could take that same money, mm-hmm. live in a house that I own, apply it to the principal. So you're going to get money on principal. You're going to pay money on interest. So let's say double that down with the interest. Let's say you're probably going to have about seven. Let's just say, mm-hmm. depending on where you are, $12,000 of that go towards principal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still winning because if it goes towards my principal, now at least I got $12,000 equity coming out of my property as opposed to you just threw $24,000 down the drain. Mm. How is it not an asset?
Well,
let's run me the numbers. I just want to see your mindset.
Well, look, I'm looking at the YouTube comments right now, and a lot of people are saying asset, asset, asset. There's a couple people saying liability. You know, Javon Blue obviously said liability. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of folks in here are saying it's an asset.
But the ones that said it's a liability, so if you don't own where you live, what do you own? And I want to call you out on that because, see, Grant Cardone may not own where he lives, but he owns real estate. He owns apartments. So you renting an apartment, you own nothing. What are you going to do to use? How are you going to use any of these tools as a wealth building vehicle?
Look, I think
I'm serious.
I think people got to stop with this whole follow the leader crap.
Yes.
Like, stop reading from the playbooks. And, you know, and this is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, great book. They spoke about this.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, the Grant Cardone's in the world. I hear what they're saying, but it, look, again, I'm always boiled down to, in the black and brown community.
It doesn't apply.
It doesn't apply. I'm sorry.
It just doesn't apply.
It does not apply because.
And because we say it, they it's like, we're not being a hater. It does not apply. Because
it doesn't apply to us.
Do you own a business? Do you own some stock?
And 9 times out of 10, they don't own a business. They don't own no stock. And they don't own no real estate.
You're just blurting out stuff.
But when you look at that, though, real talk, and when people get so blinded by this, he don't want you to own because he needs you to be a tenant. He needs you to be a tenant. I own multifamily properties. I love my tenants, right?
It's the game for
everybody me. Can't be an owner. Great. But he's not pushing ownership. You know what I'm saying?
Because he wants you to rent those apartments that he's getting the money from. He getting other people money to buy these big apartments, and he need you that are convinced that renting is better than owning to rent those inflated prices, because he's given them projections, and those projections include rent increases. Those projections include overpriced apartments, so you can help him pay back his investors so he can get rich. So who's losing here?
Look, so for the folks, like, look, Apartment Viewing says, it is a liability because you are not bringing anything in from it. If you rent it out, it's an asset. You still pay mortgage and taxes. If you do not pay it, it's gone. So what do you do when you're renting? So renting is a liability too.
Because let me say, because
when you rent, it's a bigger liability.
It's a bigger liability because you can pay it and I can still kick you out my stuff. It's mine. You can be paying me on time and I can say, yeah, anyway, then here goes the 60-day notice. I'm going to need you to get up out of my house. Bye. So how is that going to, like, and that's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. Nobody reads the fine print. You're talking to an ex-property manager here, and I didn't manage small apartments either.
Yeah.
I know.
Jacob Chavez says, GC does own where he lives. He just bought a mansion in Golden Beach. Okay, great. Right? At some point, everybody's going to buy a house to live in.
Exactly.
Like, you see the wealthiest people in the world, they're buying $50, $60, $70 million homes.
They want to have a legacy homes. They want to own.
Look, the black and none of that shit applies, in my opinion, in the black and brown.
Look
community.
At people like Rockefeller, like these huge, like the real, real wealthy. They pass these properties down through generations. So if you have this mindset
and legacy properties,
exactly. So if you have this mindset, right, you have no legacy property. You believed in only owning investments. You have nothing to pass down. What are you how are you building wealth? Like, what are you passing down? What are you doing?
Well,
I want to know.
I agree with that. And look, if we're talking generational wealth, right, especially in our community, how do you expect to have generational wealth if you're not investing and you're renting?
Because we're not.
You're not.
It's a fancy term. It's so fancy to
say. It sounds good.
It sounds good.
It's very clickbaitish.
But I'm going to tell you this. It's scary to do. I'm in the process of doing it. It's scary to do. Buckling down, disciplining, getting investing. It's scary to do. It's hard to do. It's easier to say, I'm building generational wealth. You making money every day is not building generational wealth. I'm sorry to say that. It's not. You investing money into a vehicle that's going to appreciate, compound interest is your friend. All right? Equity is your friend. That's in property. That's in stock. That's in looking at life insurance policies. All these things, those are wealth generating vehicles. But if you're just so gung-ho on where I live is not an asset, okay. I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather be an owner any day. And if I fall into hard times right now, according to the appraisals on my properties, I'm going to be able to walk away with a check and start over.
100%.
Now, y'all, if you're renting and you fall on hard times, we're just going to have to fall on somebody else's couch because you can't sell that asset to make any money.
Well, I can tell you this. Out of all the multimillionaires that I know, 95% of them own real estate.
Absolutely. And will always own.
Out of most of the broke people I know, none of them own real estate.
Nope. They have opinions, though.
They have opinions. Everybody has an opinion. But let's just call a spade when you look at the demographics of the people you know in your circle. Just look in your own circle. The people who really get into it, who are successful, they all own.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all owning.
They own it. Like, and bigger than that, they continue to own. Like, I've had clients, they like refuse. Like, I know we're only going to be here for 2 years, or we're coming to Atlanta for a project for 2 or 3 years, but Kiana, put me in a place that has value. And I was like, do you want to rent? We don't rent in my family. Like, their mindset, they grew up not renting. Renting is like the devil to them. Oh, we don't rent. Just put me somewhere that's going to appreciate and value. I know they walk into it. They buy houses like people rent apartments because their mindset is so different. Like they refuse to rent. Renting, they're allergic to it. Like what? Rent? No. I don't care if I'm only going to be here for 2 years. I'm buying it. It's mine.
No, 100%.
And we got to change our mindset to think like that so we can start building.
And look, everybody, I need y'all to stop what y'all doing. Go like the video. Share this with your community. We got almost 1,000 people in here live with us. Make sure you like this.
Oh, that's what's up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't. I even lie. I'm going to go off of you. You tell me what they said.
You going to go in?
I'm going to go. You tell me what they said, and then I'll just comment. But
yeah.
That's good, though.
Let's get these likes up. We got 3 people who disliked it, but, you know. Maybe they don't like what we're saying. Who knows, right? Yeah. It's always a hater in the room.
It's going to always be a hater.
If you don't got no haters, you ain't popping. You ain't popping. Shout out to y'all who disliked the video.
I appreciate
you. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you very much. We're going to sip this nice cab on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Let's see what the comments are saying, right? Let's see. Oh, it's just Libra said, what about the 2008? If was ready to, I don't know. I think she was responding to somebody else. But what you think she was trying to say?
Was she talking about 2008 when the market crashed?
Has to be.
I think that she was trying to talk about that. That's such a tricky conversation because it's not going to happen like that again. It was mortgage fraud. It was all these things. But let's forget that the market crashed on people that got predatory lending in 2008. And let's think about the people that
Hold on. You ain't going to put it all on us.
All right.
Predatory lending
and mortgage fraud.
Don't put it all on us. All right.
But
these buyers was out here doing the most.
Did you hear what I said? Okay. Predatory lending and mortgage fraud. That's all it was.
Make sure you say the buyers, though.
Predatory lending, buyers committing mortgage fraud, buyers also being greedy. Because you could do
and first bankers and, being greedy
and
too.
You could do first and second mortgages at the same time and pull out money. So all of it just kind of together. But everybody likes to talk about who lost. Nobody wants to talk about all the people who won. You know who won? Mm-hmm. Not the people that was renting. The people who won are the people that had the capital to go buy all these distressed properties, build their portfolios, and wait for the equity to build and get you, to rent them. Mm-hmm. And then they waited 10 years. Now it's like, wait a minute, that house, I bought it for $150 in 2008. Now it's worth $500,000. Yeah, here's your 60-day notice. I'm going to need you to get up out of my house. I'm about to make me $400,000. Let's talk about those people because people that own actually win, period.
Yeah, look, it's no secret. The market's been up and stuck for like 5 years right now.
I would like for it. I'm gonna be honest. I'm stressed. I done lost 3 offers.
you want the market to crash?
I don't want the market to crash.
You want?
I'm gonna keep it honest with y'all. I'm tired of it being up and stuck. I wanted to just kind of calm down a little bit, but it's not. And I'm just dealing with it, you know. But this up and stuck is so real. It's getting realer and realer every single day. And the prices keep going up every single day. We see people getting outpriced every single day, especially in Atlanta. You got people paying above asking, losing offers. It's a lot happening that you guys don't want to pay attention to. And you want to wait because you're like, well, eventually the price is going to go down. But I encourage you, even if you don't want to buy a house, the area you're interested in, whatever state you're in, go to Realtor.com, go to Zillow, go to Trulia. Just get yourself on some type of alerts and just watch and see what's happening. And I promise you, you'll see the houses just going up.
Mm-hmm.
And going up, and the way that the market is and the way that inflation works is when they decide that this is the new price, it doesn't go down. And so people always say, well, it's going to go down. Look at New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think I'm going to ever be able to get a brownstone like the Cosby Show for $200,000 like they
Hell
were back
no.
in the day?
Never again.
Wait a minute. No.
The opportunity has been
what goes up must go down.
That shit ain't never hitting no $200,000 ever again in life.
Do you understand? Now, do you guys see my point? Certain things that go up stay up. Certain things go up and go down, but I'm never going to be able to get the Cosby Show brownstone for $250,000. Those are million-dollar plus properties now.
100%, and I love what Troy Martin just said, right? He says, those who owned and kept their properties won in 2008. You only lose when you sell. That is a big gem. Everybody put a gem in the comments for Troy Martin. That is one of the gems of the day in these comments. Because it's just like stock and options. When it's red days, if you sell, you took a loss.
Exactly.
But if you didn't sell on the red days, then you didn't take no loss.
And a lot of
you should be buying more.
And let me say something. A lot of people still aren't selling those assets. They're refinancing and pulling
and
out money
the
to
equity
buy more.
Out to buy more.
Because now they have equity. So it's just so many plays. I just think we have to shift our mindset. It's no judgment if you want to, like, if you're renting because you have to. Mm-hmm. But I know people that are renting because, not because they have to, not because they don't have the money, but because it's prettier to rent. Because what they can afford to buy doesn't give them the look they want. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather just spend their money on a luxury high rise than actually just buy something and own something and start building towards something.
No, that's a fact. All right, so we got another good comment in here. Princess Lamore 1985 says, are y'all going to talk about the thousands in caps with like 17 S's at the end of renters getting evicted this year? Let me speak on that real quick.
They just...
Let me speak on that.
I'll be quiet.
Look, I do not feel bad for anybody. I repeat, I do not feel bad for anybody who is manipulating the damn system.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeldwin. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeldwin windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.